Amen. All righty. Well, hey, last time, if you guys were here, we saw some good news in the midst of the bad news of the modern-day Holocaust, i.e. the COVID pandemic shots. And what we saw was some people, including politicians around the world, are starting to blow the whistle on it, finally. Okay, and they're also calling it for what it is, modern-day Holocaust. Now, we saw that last time with Andrew Bridgen. He was that British politician who, and that was his words, not mine, not hyperbole, he literally said, it's a modern-day Holocaust. Well, he's not the only one. Other politicians are finally starting to speak out, including this lady from New Zealand. Let's take a look at what she said. Watch this.
Well, we have now come to an undisclosed location with a New Zealand clinician mathematician who is very experienced in statistical analysis. That person has with us reviewed the data and confirms our position that it is damning. The figures show that there are tens of thousands of deaths linked to the jabs. And this is just one of the sites recording this type of information in New Zealand. We don't know how many further databases like this are in the country. So it follows that as the deaths are usually less than the numbers of side effects, then the extrapolation of the numbers of injured and dead Kiwis starts to become, frankly, eye-watering. We saw in the data that there are many clusters of deaths, people who attended the same jab site and were jabbed one after the other at consecutive times on the same day. We saw their jab date. We saw their date of death. Let me give you just one of many examples. On one day, 30 people were jabbed on the same day at the same location. All are now deceased. And their deaths are in close temporal time proximity to each other. That's 30. That's all players in a rugby match on the field suddenly dead. You see, statistically, the numbers of deaths we saw cannot be attributed to natural causes, given same site and same date of vaccination. It would be, what they say statistically, highly unlikely. We are calling for an inquiry. Not just any inquiry, a full-blown criminal investigation leaving no stone unturned. New Zealand is a crime scene. Computers of anyone associated with this COVID response rollout in any capacity, mobile phones, communications, bank accounts, archives, and a whole host of other targeted information must be seized. We have OIA evidence, Official Information Act evidence, that the government knew every side effect before one single jab was given in New Zealand. So, this evidence lays waste to the safe and effective narrative. It also underlines the gravity and enormity of what I have just stated in this statement. The OIA evidence we have is attached underneath this post on the nzloyal.org.nz site. But there's one thing for sure. There should be no more jabs administered in this country. So many lives have been lost. If not addressed urgently, the World Health Organization will be able to declare the next pandemic and force mass jab compliance under the Pandemic Preparedness Act, which will soon be a reality. Research that. In fact, so committed am I to stopping any further murder by needle in this country that I was willing to put my face and my name on the line on the eve of the election. I have seen the information firsthand. I have struggled sleeping at night since then, knowing that this level of detail is now available, but as we find today, being withheld.
Wonder why?
Of course.
Sad, but good news. Other people, politicians, are finally starting to blow the whistle on this. What was her term there? Murder by needle. Not a conspiracy theory. Remember all the pressure we took when we started doing our own investigation? Oh, you're a bunch of wackos, whatever. It's all coming out, man. And I don't rejoice in that. I just wish other people would have caught on earlier. or would have spoke up, because this is an atrocity. By the way, that's Liz Gunn, and she is the leader of the New Zealand Loyal Party. And I don't know if you saw in the right corner, it says, loyal to you, not them. Now that is a good politician. But the other good news is, it's starting to spread. You're finally starting to see other people, even here in the United States, outside of those of us who have been accused of wearing tinfoil hats for a long time, blow the whistle on it. Okay, and they're admit that this thing has not only happened, it's still happening, and it's not over. But watch this.
We just had a whole conversation about the fact that the CDC and the FDA want to avoid the entire concept that the Franken spike protein they created, right? They changed just the DNA structure using pseudouridine. They, you know, made this mutant version of the spike protein. They told us, as we just show you, we are going to assume this will degrade in the body the same way the natural spike protein would have. We're not going to do any studies on it. Well, we have shown you studies over the last several years that show that that's ridiculous. In fact, why? This is what's amazing. Why did they actually change that element out, that pseudouridine in the spike protein? Because it was dying too fast. It was getting killed the way all other natural proteins do, which wasn't giving it enough time to get into your cells, because it really needs to be able to turn your cells into a virus manufacturing plant. And it can't do that if the immune system can kill it too quickly. So they actually designed it to last longer. That is what's so incredible about these statements, that we think it's going to be a lot like the natural protein would have been a few days. No, you don't. No, you clearly don't. You designed it to not be that. And now you won't study how long it's lasting. And when they finally do, how about a half a year? So now you've got this diabolical, deadly spike protein that is not leaving the body. And wherever it lands, it seems to enhance whatever problem is there. What if you were susceptible to cancer? What if there was just a few cancer cells, but somehow either this turns your immune system off so it doesn't see it or enhances it in some way? What would happen to cancer then? What if you've had cancer before and you're in remission and you get the vaccine? What would that look like? What would that world look like? Or what if you started seeing people, young people, getting turbo cancers that you'd never heard of before, and more kids and young people stacking up? Would that grab your attention? How would we know? I mean, it would almost be like it would have to be reported on the news for someone to figure out that it was going on. Well, that's exactly what's happening. Take a look at this.
There was a seemingly healthy 16-year-old athlete who dies suddenly.
14-year-old girl is battling stage 3 brain cancer.
She was diagnosed with breast cancer that spread to her lymph nodes. Sadia is only 36. At the age of 34, she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer and with no family history.
According to the numbers from a newly released study, a growing trend of younger people who are being diagnosed with late-stage cancer.
Researchers say they're finding more people, some as young as 30, with late-stage colon cancer.
A new study finds that late-stage cervical cancer cases are on the rise in the United States.
Kyle Limper was seemingly a healthy 16-year-old. He complained that his back was hurting. And when the pain didn't go away, they took him to urgent care and then over to Jefferson Hospital. And that's where doctors broke the news to Kyle's parents that his organs were shutting down due to leukemia. And within 24 hours of diagnosis, Kyle passed away.
Just a month ago, Macy and her family found out she was diagnosed with grade 3 anaplastic meningioma, an aggressive brain tumor.
My life is normal, and then a month ago, they found the mass.
Colon cancer at 40. It turns out Jones's cancer was bigger and had spread farther than doctors first thought. His story is becoming more common.
It's the faster rise, especially in these colorectal cancers and bile duct cancers and breast cancers.
Colon, esophagus, kidney, liver, and pancreas, along with others.
The scariest thing about that is that we actually don't know what is driving this uptick.
All in the healthcare community going, what's going on here?
Turn to somebody and say, you big fat liar. You know exactly what's causing this. The evidence is there. And it hasn't stopped. That's why I said the last several weeks, I'm very alarmed that even many of us early whistleblowers, people have moved on. And yet they ain't even close to being done. To killing, murder by needle, a mass portion of the planet. And folks, this is why we're still talking about him, because it's a moral issue. It's a biblical issue as well. And this is why the last 22 times we've been dealing with this guy. He's one of the big pins behind him. And basically, in a nutshell, what he's doing, this mass murderous evil behavior, is he's preparing the way for this guy called the Antichrist. This is also why we're doing this. It's a Bible prophecy related issue. And that's all he's doing, right? The Bible warned about the rise of the Antichrist kingdom, and everything that this guy's bringing to the planet with his cohorts is preparing the way for the Antichrist. And it's not a surprise, because his dad worked with the previous type of Antichrist, many people call him, i.e. Hitler. Grew up in Hitler's world. His dad was buddies with the Hitler model company and all that stuff. And this is where Klaus got a lot of his ideas, including the current Holocaust as well. And basically what he's doing is taking what Hitler wanted to do with the Third Reich, but he just scrambled the name a little bit and called it not the Fourth and Fourth Reich, but the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Great Reset. And so proof of this, again, we saw he admits the plandemic was the trigger to put all this into play. It's all in print. They still don't back down. That's become the global excuse to take over the globe and bring about this great reset, to reimagine the world in their vision. Now, for proof of that, we've been seeing a bunch of stuff, the current Holocaust, the murderous motive, the global food supply they're taking over, the global food murders. They're using food to do that. They're also genetically modifying the food. We ain't come close to seeing the last of that. In case you didn't get the jab, they're going to put it in your food supply. It's already being worked on. Genetic altering technology, they got plenty to work with. They're also saying it's going to lead to an apocalypse. They don't care. They're doing it anyway. They're genetically altering humans. They're mixing us with animals. They're cloning us for horrible reasons. They're also creating a cyborg human to create remote-controlled people and know your thoughts. Genetic super soldiers, in case you get out of the line. And they're transhumanists. They believe that they're the new gods of the planet. And they not only have their plans, they got their methods. This is why they don't need Jesus Christ. This is why they think they're God, because they're going to create their own immortality with this kind of stuff that's going on. And you're going like, how could these guys do this? This is sick. It's evil. It's satanic. How could they look you square in the face and go, oh, we have no idea why this is happening? When they, because they're all involved in the occult. Okay, as we did two studies on that, exposing that. There's a spirit. The Bible says that they are demon worshipers and haters of God. Romans chapter 1, Revelation chapter 9. And then the last five times we've been seeing the deliberate destruction. And the reason why they're doing that is because once you find out what they're up to, their global nefarious plans, nobody in their right mind is going to go along with this. Well, how are they going to do it? They do what they always do. Create a crisis, manage the outcome, never let a good crisis go to waste, and order out of chaos. They're going to crash the existing system, and then they're going to replace it with their new and improved system. And again, if you guys don't think that Klaus Schwab really has been working since 1971, when he founded the World Economic Forum, into planting his cohorts all over the world, once again, let's take a look at just who's been him, he's been cranking out for decades now and planning it around the world in his Young Global Leaders program. They admit it on tape. They're all working for him to do his bidding. This is not a conspiracy theory. Watch this.
Our Young Global Leaders are selected by the top editors-in-chief around the world.
After our own internal review, we work with Hydrogen Struggles externally in 65 offices around the world to vet the shortlisted candidates. And finally, they go to a selection committee chaired by Her Majesty Queen Rania of Jordan, and prominent business leaders and politicians and media leaders.
Around 150 are chosen each year, around of whom about 125 become active, and they go to Davos and they go to regional meetings.
I benefit from global Young Global Leader early days when I listened to Bill Gates and Bill Clinton and George Soros. These guys, at that time, we don't have that many people.
A lot of the folks here knew each other already, and my hope was to meet them for the first time. And it's going pretty well.
We can easily address taboos. We can tell politicians how things really are, which obviously once we're 10 years further and we're all running countries or huge companies or whatever, it might become slightly more difficult.
There was an initiative launched called the Public Leadership Initiative by YGS, and the aim was to try to capture the interest of young global leaders, no matter which sector that they are from, to potentially serve their countries. We've already had a number of people that have gone through that program who have then decided to run for office.
My commitment will be to add value. We'll be part of the Young Leaders Initiative.
This is Merkel, Tony Blair, they were all, even President Putin, they were all young global leaders before.
Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, particularly welcome because you are also one of our young global leaders.
Sheikh Hamdan is, despite his young age, chairman of the Executive Council of Dubai, the highest government authority in the Emirate. very proud to say that His Highness is also a young global leader of the World Economic Forum.
The leader of the UK right now, David Cameron, was named a young global leader in 2006.
Mamuka Bakatse, the Prime Minister of Georgia and a young global leader.
Håkon of Norway. Håkon is the Crown Prince of Norway. He's also a member of our Young Global Leaders alumni community.
President Calderon, you have been selected in 1997 as a global leader for tomorrow.
You have already in 1993 been here for the first time as a global leader for tomorrow. And Klaus Schwab, I really have to congratulate you for your farsightedness. You picked out again the right individual.
Monsieur De Croo, vous avez été young global leader du Forum économique mondial. Vous avez récemment fait une visioconférence avec Klaus Schwab.
After the birthday, I'm out of young global leader of Davos. I finished because over 40 is finished this time.
I'd like to explore a little bit what it's like to be a new young global leader.
Not young anymore.
Gavin Newsom, the young, energetic, innovative mayor of San Francisco. He is also among those who are the young global leaders here at Davos this year.
Bozidar Djelic, the Deputy Prime Minister for European Integration and Minister of Science and Technology Development of Serbia and a young global leader.
She was named a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. Minister Jolie.
Minister Mohamed Lutfi, the Minister of Trade of Indonesia and a young global leader.
Juan Carlos Pinzón Bueno, Minister of the National Defense of Colombia, young global leader.
Chrystia Freeland, she's the Minister of International Trade of Canada. And used to be a young global leader of the World Economic Forum, if I may mention
I'm
that.
I'm afraid it's true.
That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, with the young global leader.
Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum, and he bragged how his subversive WEF, World Economic Forum, has, quoted, infiltrated governments around the world. He said that his organization had penetrated more than half of Canada's cabinet. Could the member please name which cabinet ministers are on board with the WEF's agenda? My concern is the deputy.
Order. I know the member was in a really good question there, but the audio is really, really bad, and the video is really, really bad as well.
Sounded fine to me. Turn to somebody and say it again, you big fat liar. Truth hurts. Now imagine, because this is what's going on, folks. This is not a conspiracy. Oh, we didn't know. You think you do it. And on it goes. That's still the tip of the iceberg. But recognize all the figureheads? Imagine Hitler took a different tack. If he ever had a round two at it, man, I made some mistakes the first time I tried to take over the world. And my first mistake was I thought I could bring about, taking over the world by means of a military conflict. Didn't work out. But what if he had a second chance at it and he said, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's a full frontal assault. That didn't work. What I'm going to do is slowly but surely, over 5 decades, I'm going to train and plant my SS agents in every major developed country in the world, including at the very top prime minister and presidents. And then I'm going to pull the trigger and they're going to all do it for me. Folks, that's what's going on. That's all Klaus has done. And it's happening right before our very eyes. But I can't tell you in the last 48 hours how many text messages, phone calls, emails I've got of this so-called good news that Klaus Schwab has now stepped down, so we're free and clear. Yes. Now, if you believe that, raise your hand and slap yourself. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Are you getting, oh, yay. So what do you mean, yay? And I quote, number one, here's what it says. Klaus will be stepping down as executive chairman and transitioning to a role as non-executive chairman. Can I translate that for you? He's still there. Right? Right? And it's no shakes, because we all know that when Obama left the presidency, he went and retired. He moved down the stinking street. Right? No joke. He moved down the street a couple blocks and set up a new shop and has been messing things up ever since then. Bill Gates, when he retired from Microsoft, whew, man, finally. No, it got even worse. And if you think Klaus is going anywhere, again, slap yourself in love at least 100 times, please. Right? And yet, well, he's gonna die. Well, his family, his wife, his son, his daughter are all embedded into this thing. Right? there's not going to be any change. So anyway, I just say that because I got people. The way I was thinking, everybody's like elated, like, yay, finally, we won. What do you mean you won? Not to be pessimistic, but he ain't going nowhere. You got too much invested in this, folks. So pay attention, right? But again, speaking of young global leaders, they're everywhere, including what we've been seeing. This guy. He's folks, been there for 20 plus years. And we've showed you the tape before. Klaus Schwab said Joe Biden was his hardest working disciple. That's why he was brought in, folks. This is on tape. It's not a conspiracy theory. And when they say they're going to build back better, they mean to destroy it and replace it with a new one. That's why 2 years ago he signed the executive order to go cashless, because Joe Biden was brought in to destroy our economy so it would destroy the global economy, which would become the crisis to reset it with a digital one. It's all pre-planned, folks. That's what's going on here. Okay. Now, the illusion is that he's just this guy, right? He's just doesn't know what he's doing. He's making bad decisions. It's not he's making bad decisions. He's making deliberate decisions to destroy our economy, to destroy our way of life, to destroy America. That's the whole plan. America's got to go, okay, if they're going to reset all this, okay? Now, again, I think there's an element of truth to that because he can't even finish a sentence. He gets stuff wrong. So it really is Obama, who somebody's making the decision. But the point is the decisions are being done deliberately. They're not just being done. Now, for proof of that, we saw 5 ways so far he was brought in to deliberately destroy our country and our economy was, first of all, his attack on oil and energy. Then we saw he deliberately attacked the finance and economy. And this is just since he's been in office, folks. The third way is he began to destroy the food and commerce. Then he began to destroy the real estate and the property. And then last time, he began to destroy the transportation system, which, again, not only are you not going to have a home to go into because you'll own nothing to be happy, including not just the shirt on your back and the food that you eat, but even your house. But you ain't going to own no car. You ain't going to own nothing. Nothing means nothing, folks, to these guys. And that's what they're doing. They're taking over the transportation. Again, it's under the guise, it's here for you. We're going to improve the infrastructure. We're going to use new technology. We're going to create a wonderful transportation system because we love you so much. And it was the same thing that Hitler did. Again, everything Hitler's doing, Klaus Schwab is doing, right? Hitler, he did the same thing in order to take over the transportation system, which, by the way, anybody who resisted that same transportation system led them to their demise, okay? But we saw that Hitler, what he promised, the people's car, right? The Volkswagen, that's what Volkswagen means, people's car. They also said everybody's going to have their own flying vehicle. This is Hitler's. So you know what it is today? All they did was scramble a little bit. As we saw last time, we got a Tesla. Everybody needs to get an electric car. Save the planet. Remember Hitler was an environmentalist too? He was going to do all this to save the planet? Same baloney, same thing, right? And the newly approved flying car. It's the exact same scenario, folks. It's just scrambling the name. Now, you're thinking, well, we got to buy the EVs because that's what's going to help save the planet. It's really good. No, it's not. And we saw that EVs are horrible for the environment. They're not safe. They shut down. They don't work in cold weather. They are not energy efficient. They're making China rich, and they're making China Joe and his family rich. Okay, it's a lie. It's a hoax. It's that. That's why we also saw the government is beginning to limit gas vehicles on the road. Then they put a kill switch, mandatory kill switch, in all vehicles, right, to control the transportation. States are already banning gas vehicles, trying to force you to go to that, and it's going global. Europe is doing the same thing, man. A ban gasoline and diesel vehicles. They're forcing you to go electric. Biden signs the order that half of all vehicles are electric by when? 2030. What's that? That's Klaus's date. That tells you who he's working for. And that's why we're seeing stuff like this. You will own nothing, and or you will drive nothing, and you'll be happy. That's all part of the program. Right? And if you don't think it's really coming from Klaus and the gang, he blatantly says they call for an end to private car ownership. And the whole point is this, it's an attack on travel. Because, you know, in a time of crisis, or if you want to escape a tyranny, you can get your car and get out of here. Not anymore. And we saw that was a biblical thing, right? The Antichrist in the middle point, he's going on a slaughter. And that's why Jesus said, hey, your only option, if you find yourself in there, number one, get saved now. If you're not, and avoid the whole thing. But if you find yourself in that time frame, your only option is to run. Don't go back to your house. We saw that last time before. And then last time we saw your only option is to run. You try to get in a car, a bus, a train, any of all this electric, it'll shut you. You ain't going nowhere because he wants to slaughter folks. But this is what they're doing. This is what China Joe has brought in, right? And again, when they say build back better, it's destroy our current system to replace it with their new satanic utopia, which is definitely an oxymoron. but that's what they're doing. Now, this is going to lead, speaking of the Antichrist king, I couldn't wait to get to this one. I've been itching to get to this one because I'm not saying this to boast, don't take this wrong, but hardly anybody's talking about this, and this is a huge, mega, major Bible prophecy sign, okay? And it's another thing that is going to be preparing the way for the Antichrist kingdom, and it has everything to do with this, immigration and border. We've been hearing about this for a long time. We've been hearing about it since Biden got in. Why is he not doing anything about the border? Well, there's reasons for that. And believe it or not, this whole idea about border crisis and all that stuff has to do with a long-term plan to lay the foundation for a specific type of bordered planet that is being prepared for the Antichrist. And the Bible calls it out specifically. Let's take a look at that text. Revelation 17 is our opening text. Revelation 17, and again, this is in the seven-year tribulation, during the seven-year tribulation. And so as we're going to see what brings out and what's going to happen to the planet, it's obviously a global basis, as you'll see in a second. And then if we see, well, wait a second, so this is what they're going to do, and then they're going to create this, what we're about to read, and then they're going to hand it over to the Antichrist. And so the whole point is this. So if we see them creating it, then how close are we out of here, right? But this is crazy. You talk about spot on, written 2,000 years ago. This is wild, folks. Revelation 17, 8 through 13 simply says this, right? Verse 8, the beast, or the Antichrist, which you saw once was, now is not. Now, contextually, that's talking about the fake resurrection that he does. We read that in Revelation 13, right? And that helps to further dupe people. Look at this guy. He's an amazing guy. He came back. We thought he was dead. You see that back in the context. So that's what he's talking about. So he says there, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. This guy is going to be demon-possessed straight from the pits of hell. The inhabitants of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world will be astonished when they see the beast because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. He's talking about the one world religious harlot, Babylon, the religious system. There's also seven kings, five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not and is the eighth king, he belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. Now watch this. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who will, for 1 hour, a brief period, will receive authority as kings along with who? The Antichrist. Watch this. They have one purpose, and they will give their power and authority to the who? The beast or the Antichrist. So basically, real quickly, fascinating passage. Wish I had more time to break it down for you. But basically, what I want to focus on there is that last section there. This is on a global basis. This is in the seven-year tribulation. This is part of the setup of the global control of the Antichrist system, the beast system. And it clearly says there, at some point, the planet is going to be split up into 10 different kingdoms, ruled by 10 different rulers, and they exist for one purpose. You get that 10-section planet taken care of for manageable purposes, then they're going to eventually hand it over to the Antichrist, right? So that basically, in a nutshell, is what we're talking about. And believe it or not, folks, that's exactly what is going on with the border. The border issue is being done on purpose for several reasons, and one of them, as we will see, it's being done to help section the planet off into, guess how many kingdoms? 10, you'll see that in a second, over and over and over again. It's like somebody's following a script. And this is what Biden's doing. Because one of the 10 sections is called the North American Union, Canada, U.S., and Mexico will be one of the 10 chunks. And that's what Biden is up to. And that's what we're going to talk about. But you're going like, well, wait a second. Where did Klaus get this idea to where you take one nation and then you start tacking on a couple others? But that's just the beginning. It really is the beginning of sectioning the whole planet up to take over the whole planet. Well, he got it from Hitler. Hitler did the same thing. And that's how he rouged people. It was called the annexation of Hitler. He went in and began to conglomerate other countries. Let's take a look at that.
On the 12th of March, 1938, the strangest invasion in history begins. German tanks roll across the border into Austria. They're welcomed by smiling civilians who greet the German Führer, Adolf Hitler, as a hero. This is the moment when the countdown to the Second World War begins. The decisions and actions Hitler takes over the next 18 months will drag the world to war. Without him, there would be no Second World War. No Holocaust, no senseless killing of millions of people. To understand how it happened, we need to understand him. In this series, we're telling the story of these 18 months, from the 12th of March 1938 to the 3rd of September 1939, through the eyes of Hitler himself, revealing how this bully, gambler, and arch manipulator brought the world to the edge of destruction. This time, we've reached the 19th of March, 1939. Hitler has invaded Czechoslovakia, a clear act of aggression. While at home, the Nazis have launched vicious attacks on Germany's Jews. The world has finally woken up to the Nazi threat. But Hitler is determined to go even further. Less than a week later, Hitler meets with his army chiefs at the new Reich Chancellery. He tells them that having taken Austria and Czechoslovakia, he's now got his eyes on his biggest prize yet.
So he starts off with just, you know, two, not a big deal. People kind of, okay, that's kind of weird. We'll kind of let you get away with that. Austria just welcomed with open arms, if you know the history on that. Okay, got a little aggressive with Czechoslovakia, but that, okay, we'll let you start there, but that was what? That was just the beginning, right? Step by step, chunk by chunk, the goal was, that's just the beginning. Just take this little piece, but it's really about conquering the world. This is what's going on, folks, and I'm going to expose it to you. It's been going on for a long time. It's a plan. It's directly from Schwab, and of all sections of the planet, they didn't decide to split up the planet into five chunks or four chunks or 122 chunks. I'm not joking. It's exactly 10. And it will be ruled by 10 leaders who are going to hand it over to a guy. It's exactly verbatim Revelation 17. Now, let me prove it to you. This is the Club of Rome map. It's a group think tank. And I'm going to demonstrate here shortly. They've been in existence late 60s, early 70s. And they came out with this map that they delineate as a think tank for the world, that in order for the world to be better managed, this is how they split it up. Notice number one is not just us, but us with who? Folks, this is the early 70s. This is how long it's been in play, right? It's the Club of Rome, right? And this is no conspiracy theory, okay? But again, of all numbers they just happened to pick to split the planet up for manageable pieces, it happens to be exactly what God said would happen 2,000 years ago. This is crazy. And you think, well, speaking of crazy, Club of Rome, I mean, that's one of those classic conspiracy theories. There is no Club of Rome, and they are not really in existence. And yeah, they are, folks. They're really real, and they're using the lie of climate change as an excuse to give up our sovereignty, and they will manage the planet into 10 chunks. Watch this.
We explored the origin of the Club of Rome, as well as its publications and the allegations against it. The group's most popular work, The Limits to Growth, was written by MIT researchers and published in 1972. The thesis is that humanity's growth is unsustainable and that without drastic changes, civilization may collapse. The book also contains specific predictions, for example, that the world of 1972 had only 550 billion barrels of oil. Originally, they predicted that the world would reach peak oil within the decade. Yet by 1990, this prediction was incorrect, and the world's unexploited reserves totaled about 900 billion barrels, not counting shale tar. So it seems that, like many other dire predictions, the club's guesses were incorrect. But this isn't the only set of guesses they've made. In fact, their critics maintain, they've been busy making more than new predictions. They're building a police force that answers to no one. Here's where it gets crazy. The Club of Rome's 2012 publication, The Count Up to 2052, and overarching framework for action, really does call for worldwide environmental supervision, specifically for supranational institutions to help nations adopt policy that will help our grandchildren. According to the report, these institutions would be beyond the day-to-day control of national parliaments and voters. The authors also predict that global GDP will slow and that Asia will become the world's premier economic engine. Club's critics aren't swayed by these changes. Instead, they see an increasingly blatant move to erode state sovereignty and create a new world order. It all ultimately comes down to a single issue. How much should you trust the Club of Rome? Are they, as they say, an informal group concerned with saving humanity and the planet? Or is their end goal something else? Something they don't want you to know?
Well, that's exactly what it is. But again, there's an entity. They've been in existence for over 50 years. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's out there. They publish papers just like the World Economic Forum and all these other guys. But they meet in meetings to determine whatever it is, and they've already pre-planned to split the planet up for better order, because they know better, into 10 manageable sections. Okay? Makes no sense, seemingly is whoop-de-doo-dah, until you read the Bible. And the Bible says, in the 7-year tribulation, that's going to happen, and then they're going to hand the whole thing over to the Antichrist, specifically 10. Now, you're thinking, okay, well, that's the Club of Rome. What's that got to do with Klaus? Klaus is the one who has been working with them from the beginning. So he's on this plan to split the planet up into 10 manageable kingdoms. Here he is admitting it on tape.
I worked on climate change since 73.
So
just to tell you, because I was the person who gave the Club of Rome the first big platform. I share with you the concern, and I think we can solve those issues only if we repair our global architecture and our global system.
Not repair, they're going to take it over. So he admits on tape it was him. He's working from the beginning with the Club of Rome, who just happens to split the planet up into 10 kingdoms. So again, he's a part of this connection. Now, for more proof of this, let me just share with you this. This is from the World Economic Forum website, right? It's time to emerge from our planetary emergency. Here's the plan. What's that tell you? They got a plan to take over the world. And I quote from that, you can check out yourself, I highlight it for you. The Club of Rome has published a plan to deliver the changes we need. Right there. Right? And here's the plan. Quote, the Club of Rome's planetary emergency plan provides a new compass for nations as they navigate through 2020, a critical year. Again, that's when they wanted to put all this into place, the plandemic. Right? And they say this, the plan calls for the implementation of 10 commitments to safeguard and restore our global commons. 10, there's that number again. But they're all connected, including with Schwab. They're not working separately, they're working together. They have been from the get-go. But again, it's specifically 10. Now, for even more proof of that, this is from the European Union's website, and they've got the world shaded into different regions. And for those of you hooked on shading and math, it just happens to be, you can do the math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. They've got it partitioned out into 10 regions. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Oh, and look at that. America is all combined there up there, right? But that's just them. I've been saving this since I was pastor in New York. This is one of those times like, you better get that off the website before they delete this one. But this one, and I got it, still on file. Here it is for proof. This is the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, and it says back there in 2009, new research program on global democracy is established. When I about blew up, fell out of my chair in my office when I came across this one. Watch this in print, got the screenshot. This is no conspiracy theory, straight from the UN. And I quote, watch this. A global research program facilitated and coordinated through a convened group of 10 persons based in 10 world regions was established last year, which would have been 2008 during the Bush administration. What's it say? 10 persons based in what? 10 world regions. For what? Global democracy. Makes no sense until you what?
Read the Bible.
That's right, Ron. Read the Bible. But let's go back to what we're dealing with today. How many churches actually even teach on prophecy? So this is going in one ear out the other. Now, again, this is the plan, folks. This God called this out 2,000 years ago. When you see the planet split up into 10 chunks ruled by 10 people, it's getting close because they're going to hand it over to the actual Antichrist. It's happening before our eyes, and it's been the plan for a long time. Now, we've been slowly, methodically, this was back early 70s, but then slowly, methodically, they begin to put it into play. Now, the first shot across the bow was the European Union. That's old hat now, but remember, if you were alive then, right, then that was big news. What? Countries are coming together, giving up their individual national sovereignty and coming together and then even producing their own currency? That was big news. Now we don't even think about it. Euro, European Union. But that was just the catalyst. For years, folks, there's been talk about, again, an African Union, right? A South American Union, Asian Union, Mediterranean Union, Central Asian Pacific Union, all that stuff. They're going to land on 10. This is part of the plan, including this one, folks. No joke. North American Union, an economic union between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. We're one of the 10 chunks. And you say, well, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Folks, this is another reason why Biden was brought in. Because they're getting ready to launch the 10 economic kingdoms. They're just waiting for the right crisis to become the excuse to combine the rest of the planet like the European Union and be left with their 10 chunks. It's not a conspiracy theory. And this is what's going on with the border. The border crisis is being done on purpose. One of the reasons why is to become the catalyst to combine us with Canada and Mexico. One of the 10 chunks. That's the game plan. There's other reasons why, and I want to explain that to you very briefly. Why is Biden allowing the so-called border crisis to go on? Because he is. Why is he doing it? Well, number one, because it's going to further destroy our economy, which, as we saw, is the plan. It's another burden on our economy that's already being burdened, and something's going to give. Because what happens by allowing these people to come over, what are they doing? The other insane behavior. 100,000 illegals get Obamacare? We got veterans. We got people in the United States of America, American citizens that can't even get health care. And who's paying for that? You can't keep this up. Something's going to give. And it isn't just this. Watch this. Illegal aliens, who's luring them in and why? Quote, one of the primary reasons these illegal aliens wish to come to our nation is because they're being promised free housing, meals, nearly everything, which the majority of the citizens in our country have to work for. This is creating a heavy price due to what our nation has to do to ensure that these illegal aliens are cared for better than U.S. citizens. And watch this. Today, Joe Biden placed $290 billion in his budget proposal for housing illegal aliens. That's a third of a trillion, folks. Not million, a third of a trillion, right? That's not a typo, it's a fact. Our nation's citizens, veterans, and families sleeping on the streets, and Joe Biden and the Democrats have not provided them with 1 cent for housing while they demand $290 billion for criminal illegal aliens. Quote, one has to ask, why are the Democrats doing this? Because it's going to pop the economy. It's going to destroy it, and that's the plan. That's just one reason. They're getting a lot of mileage out of this. The second one is it's going to flip states to Democrat, and you will never see a Republican in office ever again. And they're getting very close, right? Number one, illegal border crossers total over 10 million since the Biden inauguration. Now watch when you put that to the states, how big of a number that really is. This is the greatest number in history of any administration. And the 10 million number total is more than the individual populations of 41 states. Some of the states, we think, oh, there's a lot of people. A lot of states don't even have 10 million. 10 million. He's bringing in 10 million. And it's not stopping. Now watch this. Here's the danger. In a 2012 Pew Research Center National Survey of Latinos found that among Latino immigrants who are not U.S. citizens, some 31% identify as Democrats, just 4% as Republicans. So you're stacking the deck. And where's the border at? Texas. They're also shoving a lot over to Florida. Here's the reality. If they just shove enough people who will now vote Democrat into Texas and flip that state and then flip Florida, and it always stays blue now, just like New York and California, it's a numbers game, people. They win those two states. They take over those, just those two states. That's all they got to do. You will never see a Republican president again, ever. That's what's going on. The next thing is, it could create a crisis, which is being done on purpose, to become an excuse to create martial law. Because the people that are coming over here just happens to be military age. In China, is China sneaking military personnel into the U.S. via the border? Here's what we know. The Republican chair of the House Homeland Security Committee has said that it is very likely that military personnel were being inserted into the United States by China using the southern border, many of whom are military-age men, many of whom have ties with the PLA and ties with CCP. You know anything about China? We've seen how they're completely controlled, monitored. You don't go anywhere, do anything. You get penalized, you get jaywalking. You think you're just going to walk out of that country? As a young man, you're just going to walk out of that country and show up on the southern border. You're being planted on the southern border. And this is what people are saying. Wait a second. These guys come in, they're military age, and who knows what else is going, right? Then what if an order was given to start creating a bunch of chaos? And then, oh, we got to declare martial law. We may never make it to the election. Not saying that'll be the scenario, but you declare martial law, you get to suspend all kinds of things. And you think they'd ever give it back? No. The fourth one is to help create a North American union, right? Because all they got to do is flood us with enough people, not just to flip states, but they flood us up with enough people who are not Americans who could give a rip about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or American sovereignty or the American way of life, then it's a numbers game. There won't be enough people to stop it when they say, hey, we need to combine the countries together. See what's going on? And this is exactly what's going on. Now, here's what's wild. We always hear about the southern border. But remember, the plan is Canada, U.S., and Mexico, not just U.S. and Mexico. Folks, the same thing, you're not hearing about this in the news, the same influx of people is coming from the north. And that's what this says. Watch this. In fiscal year 2023, border officials encountered 189,401 illegal and inadmissible immigrants along the U.S.-Canada border. In 2021, it was 916. So we're getting hit from both angles. And if you keep this up and you keep flooding America, it's a numbers game. They've already got, in my estimation, probably about 40% of America brainwashed through the schools and the secular media and Hollywood and all that stuff to think that who cares about America? They're anti-American. They're on the streets. They're doing stupid stuff, right? But they don't care. They're globalists. They've been trained that way. But they don't have the numbers yet. But if you keep flooding America as fast as you can with millions of people who could give a rip, then who's left to stop it? It's a numbers game, okay? And that's what's going on, folks. Now, if you don't think that's part of the plan, it's in print too. While we're all distracted with who's going to win the playoffs, how's that economy doing? Here's what Biden is up to. And I quote, the Biden administration hails migrants as newcomers to the U.S. He wants them here. Biden continues to do all he can to expedite the flood tide of illegal aliens into America, even welcoming them as newcomers in need of, quote, critical services. Newcomers? That term is very deliberate. On January 2023, Biden participated, quote, in a North America Leader Summit in Mexico City, along with Canada Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Mexico President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Quote, it is no exaggeration to describe the gathering as a test drive, quote, for a North American union that would obliterate U.S. national sovereignty. And I want to demonstrate to you how long this has been put into play. And to be fair, it isn't just Biden. A lot of this was really kicked into gear back during the Bush Jr. days. That guy was a puppet. And we got duped, folks. That's the first clue you should have woke up a long time ago. And I want to prove that to you. The first one was what's called the currency proof. Now, when they combine the European Union, what was the first next step? We need a central currency that will work with all three countries, and that's what got the birth of the euro out of the European Union. And so for a long time, this was leaked out many years ago, that the proposed, whether it ends up being this or not, whether we see it or not, if we're still here, right? But the new one for the North American Union was called the Amero. Watch this.
There is a move toward a North American Union.
The Security and Prosperity Partnership, what some call the North American Union.
It's essentially the centralization of power into fewer hands.
What would be the benefits for creating the equivalent of the euro? And I had
the idea, the inspiration to call it the Amero.
I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about that I think is going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. It's a new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community much like the EU.
Our economies now are very integrated. Our societies are growing increasingly integrated. What's needed now is a North American idea for all three. The greatest initiatives have usually originated from some crisis of some sort.
And my hope is that eventually, if there is a major catastrophe, there will be enough people around who will say, well, this may be the time to try out this new idea.
Did you catch that? That's Herbert Grubel, the father of the Amero, this new currency for all three countries. And he said, it's my hope that what? The right crisis comes along and becomes the excuse to, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just combine. They tell you exactly, folks, what they're going to do. I wonder what that crisis will be. Joe Biden crashes the American economy officially on purpose. We're the backbone of the global currency, the dollar. Oh, no. What are we going to do? Hey, for strength and competition, let's combine our countries so this will never happen again. It's a setup. That's the first one. The second one's the highway proof. Well, wait a second. So it's just logical. I mean, if you're going to tie all three countries together, you not only need a common currency, you need a common transportation system to tie it all together, you know, because this is economic reasons. And you're going to have your goods flow in between and all that stuff. Folks, that's been on the docket for a long time, right? A long time. It was called back in the day during the Bush years, giant superhighway, the NAFTA superhighway, the Trans-Texas Corridor. But and people early on were blowing the whistle on it, but nobody's talking about it today, folks. Watch this.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about Super NAFTA and what the Bush administration is planning to lock NAFTA in even tighter in this country and across the continent. There's something called the Agreement on Security and Prosperity that is being negotiated by the Bush administration very quietly. No hearings are being held in this Congress. Most Americans have never even heard of the term. This Security and Prosperity Agreement, as it is being called, has no democratic underpinning to it. It's being negotiated by the very same elites that negotiated NAFTA. And let's look at some of the signs of what is happening. It is suddenly clearer why a company from Spain called Cintra wants to be the gatekeeper on this new highway structure. Cintra is a subsidiary of Ferrovial, the Spanish transportation company founded by multi-billionaire Rafael de Pino, who is one of the richest people in the world. The people of the United States had better wake up.
Well, open borders advocates are refusing to acknowledge rising evidence of plans for a NAFTA superhighway. Many in the mainstream media absolutely refuse to acknowledge the reality. The plans could be a major step toward that North American union of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. President Bush says opponents of a NAFTA superhighway, in his view, are laying out a conspiracy. Senator Obama says he sees no evidence of a North American union. Even some news organizations are criticizing me for raising the issue. Time magazine journalist Joe Klein accused me of, quote, spewing false inflammatory nonsense. So we asked Bill Tucker to report on the issue. He found there's plenty of evidence of plans for new transportation links between Mexico and Canada, and only, in my opinion, a fool would refuse to see those links.
There is no NAFTA superhighway. Not officially. Some even call it the invention of the far right wing. But some politicians find the denials almost laughable.
The folks in Washington are in denial about the Super NAFTA highway, or whatever you want to call it. It's the concept that there will be a highway, free trade, from Mexico through the central part of the United States all the way to Canada.
In Texas, planning and development is underway for what are officially called transportation corridors, the Trans-Texas Corridor, I-69, a combination of rail lines, utility lines, car and truck lanes, planned to be as wide as 3 football fields laid end to end. It will be financed by a private foreign company, most likely Spain's Cintra, who will then own the lease on the road and the revenue generated by the tolls. Texas may use eminent domain to lay claim to some of the land needed to build it. For an imaginary road, there is a lot of money and effort involved and some very real opposition.
We don't want this corridor!
The New World Order is rapidly constructing the physical infrastructure of the North American Union. The NAFTA Superhighway Control Grid. More than 80 federal and state highways have been designated as international arteries. The I-35 NAFTA corridor starts deep inside Mexico and travels through the middle of the United States and ends in central Canada. Container ships from Asia dump their cargo on the Pacific side of Mexico. It then travels duty-free by rail to the new Kansas City inland port, now considered sovereign soil of Mexico, in the heart of the United States. Under international agreements, predominantly foreign companies are placing tolls on already existing paid-for roads. Federal, state, and corporate documents show that they will then use the revenue raised to build up the transportation infrastructure of Mexico, not the United States or Canada, so foreign-made products can pour in even faster from Mexico. Revenues raised will also be used to fund the fledgling North American Union and its growing bureaucracy. Bottom line, they're using our own money to enslave us.
I'm Arthur Peterson, Colonel retired in the Army. To think that people would even consider confiscating land of farmers and ranchers and taking their homes away from them to turn it over to a foreign company in Spain, which was controlled by Don Carlos, I understand, a notorious socialist, and they get the tolls on Texas land for 50 years. I see things today that are happening that would make my friend who died in World War II turn over in their grave.
I agree. You know what the old-fashioned term was? Treason. Guys are traitors.
Yes.
Sold their soul to the devil or selling out our country. It's happening, folks. It's been happening for a long time. Which leads to the next one, the leadership proof. Again, it's not just Biden recently. I'll get to even more proof in just a second. But it really kicked in the gear back in the Bush days. But it didn't stop with Bush. It just carried on through the Obama years. But let's take a look at how long they've been working on combining our countries. Watch this.
New concerns tonight about moves towards what some call a North American Union. A number of high-level government meetings are taking place in Mexico to discuss North American integration of Mexico, the United States, and Canada. More meetings are scheduled. It is an aggressive agenda proposed at the highest levels of our government and U.S. commerce without congressional or voter oversight. Lisa Sylvester reports.
A caravan of cars travels along the Arizona desert. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff was visiting the U.S.-Mexican border. Last week, he was in Mexico City. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez visited Mexico February 1st. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, January 11th. And President Bush himself will travel there next month. The high-level meetings are to advance North American integration, also known as the Security Prosperity Partnership.
There are several ways it could go. One is modeled after the EU. One is modeled after sort of the an economic community. It's beyond the scope of just a trade, free trade zone, which we fairly well have already with those two countries.
Now, 4 years ago, I bet I was a lot like you. I started paying attention to the border crisis, and I thought to myself, why is this happening? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. I thought we thought about security. Well, since I couldn't apply logic and understand what was happening in the border, I started looking for alternative theories, and it took me down lanes I didn't want to go, quite honestly. I mean, who's watching the border? Who would benefit from things saying screwed up? I hate to break it to you, but after 2 years of denying it and saying this can't be, it's the only reason that I have found that explains everything that's going on in our country with the border. Our country has been sold out in the name of global profits and votes at the ballot box. This is where the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, or SPP, comes in. This little agreement, international agreement, cooked up by President Bush, the former president of Mexico, and the Prime Minister of Canada. Their mission is to blur or completely erase the borders between Canada, U.S., and Mexico to get goods and services freely flowing between all three countries in the dream of one big, happy Mex-America-Canada. And that would finally become a reality. Sound great? Not so much. On Larry King Live, where everybody like you, like me, who have been saying, wait a minute, I don't want to believe this, but it looks like it's happening. We've all been called crazy. This is what Vicente Fox said on Larry King Live. Roll the tape.
What we proposed together, President Bush and myself, it's ALCA, which is a trade union for all of the Americas.
It's going to be like the euro dollar, you mean?
Well, that would be long, long term. I think the process is to go first step into a trading agreement, and then further on, a new vision like we're trying to do with NAFTA.
He says in this interview, Jerome, he's asked, so it would be like the euro dollar? Well, long, long term. I was with one of the country's leading economists having dinner the other night, and I said, what point do you start, and this guy's an optimist, at what point do you start worrying about the dollar? And he said, Glenn, about 6 months ago, he said, it's almost like we're intentionally destroying the dollar.
Let me close just one more thing on this question of sovereignty. It's very difficult for a large country to accept that somebody is going to come in, like the United States or like the Europeans, and is basically going to come in and say, you're not doing your regulation in a proper way. Fair game. But what's going to happen when China and India are economies as powerful as the United States or Europe? And what's going to happen when there's a mortgage meltdown in India? What's going to happen when a Chinese hedge fund goes under? And that the results of that tsunami don't stop at the Chinese or the Indian border, but that in fact you find them in Idaho and Iowa and California. Who's going to deal with that unless we're prepared to understand that in fact we're all going to have to give up a little bit of our sovereignty in order to make the world work?
Well, another announcement today by President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway, all of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. President-elect Obama named a diehard free trader and a NAFTA supporter to be his U.S. trade representative. Bill Tucker has our report.
Ron Kirk is President-elect Obama's pick to be his front man on trade. Kirk made his name in politics serving as mayor of Dallas, where he was known as a staunch supporter of free trade agreements, NAFTA in particular. He was a big proponent of a trade corridor from Mexico up through Texas, a road he once referred to as a NAFTA freeway. His nomination was welcomed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers. Advocates for a change in trade policy are not so happy.
Now, the apparent contradiction in Obama's words and actions has activists on another front worried. Last February, Obama pledged that he would resume the security and prosperity partnership talks between Mexico and Canada that President Bush initiated. He also said the talks will be transparent. Those opposed to the North American Union say that now whether he will or will not deliver on that promise becomes something they doubt. Lou.
Well, this is, this is early on. The president-elect is starting to look like, it's starting to look when it comes to trade. As Lori Wallach, the Public Citizen, pointed out, Global Trade Watch, the old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
In other words, Republican, Democrat, exactly. They're all in it together, and their global agenda does not change. Now, we'll say this in fairness. There was only one presidency when this started that this meeting of the countries together took a hiatus for 4 years, and that was under Trump. But as soon as Biden got back in, bang, it started right back up, and I'll give you that. But let's take a look at some issues. Wait a second. So this is crazy. Do you think all Americans are going to go along with this? Dare I say, do you think all Canadians are going to go along with this? Even Mexicans? I mean, you know there's going to be troublemakers. So what are they going to do with all those people? Well, this is the other plan. The plan is to combine and create a global army. In fact, let me show you the map that they've had for world government, on the border is the next one, is they're going to deal with the border issue of people being troublemakers. But this is the map. I've had this baby for a long time. And this is the map that they created. This was in London, the World Association of Parliamentarians for World Government. And let me explain to you this map. This map of the world is where they're going to have the militaries around the world. They got the 10 chunks, but here's the plan. America, their plan is not going to be staffed with American soldiers. America, according to this map and the legend, is going to have Chinese, Russian, Colombian, Venezuelan, and Belgian troops stationed here in America. And then American troops are going to be stationed in Europe to control things over there. And you're going, like, why would they swap? Because I would think it would be really hard for an American soldier to shoot a fellow American. But not if they're foreign. And you're going, map or not, I don't care, man. There's no way that foreign troops are going to be here on American soil. Folks, they're trained. You know, here's the other smoke screen. You know, China Joe, he's called China Joe for a reason. He's tough on China. You hear me? There's Joe China. We're going to do these tariffs. Yeah, really. Did you know that our military is allowing China to train on our soil? Yes. Mm-hmm. And did you also know, watch this, folks, American troops are training remotely with Chinese army from Schofield. Mm-hmm. I thought they were the enemy. I thought Joe was being tough on him. No, he's not. This is Hawaii, folks. But don't worry, the U.S. and Chinese military officials are meeting in Hawaii to discuss operational safety in the public. What are we doing military operations with China? Well, it's not just happening with that. Did you also know that there's Chinese police stations around the world, including America? Yes. Why is that being allowed, China Joe? Watch this.
Hawaii National Guard search and rescue soldiers recently participated in the first ever search and rescue extraction training event between the U.S. and Chinese militaries. During the three-day disaster management exercise, search and extraction professionals got a chance to learn from each other while working hand-in-hand in a simulated disaster environment. Previous engagements involved planning and tabletop strategy sessions. This is the first time rescuers from the two nations have had the chance to work together in a field environment.
Welcome back. More proof tonight. China is violating basic human rights on our soil without consequence. For some reason, the FBI and DOJ give Chinese intelligence a pass here in America. A group called Safeguard Defender just released a report showing the Chinese have set up police stations in 110 countries around the world. There's at least one in New York, at least one that we know about. If this sounds familiar, it's because we've warned you about Xi Jinping's kidnappings abroad since May.
So China Joe is supposed to be tough on China, and they're supposed to be the bad guy, but Chinese military is working with our military on American soil, and we're allowing Chinese police stations, even in America? What's going on? Well, part of it, long-term, folks, was to create a North American army, right? And this is in print. I've saved this baby, too. This was back in 2008. In a ceremony that received virtually no attention in the American media, the United States and Canada signed a military agreement that allowed the armed forces from one nation to support an armed forces of the other nation during, quote, a domestic civil emergency. The military plan is designed to bypass acts that traditionally prohibit the U.S. military from operating within the borders of the United States. But now, not only will American soldiers be deployed at the direction and discretion of whomever is sitting in the Oval Office, quote, but foreign soldiers will also be deployed in American cities. And it says the civil assistance plan is an incremental step towards creating a North American armed forces available to be deployed in, quote, North American emergency situations. You know, like when people freak out and say, we are not going to give up our sovereignty. But that's just the troublemakers. What about the average Joe that's going across the borders? You combine it, it's borderless. What are you going to do? Well, this is the other plan. You're going to create a global universal ID system, right? And because the issue that you don't realize, folks, it isn't just the Chinese. It's not just the Hispanics. Wait till you hear how many countries are coming through that southern border. You got a crisis on your hand. How are you going to identify all these people? Watch this.
The local Border Patrol union is worried talk about amnesty will attract more people who want to enter the U.S. illegally.
Channel 5's Steve Solis recently rode along with agents as they patrolled our border, and they made a surprising discovery.
Inside the crossover,
Border Patrol agent Joe Gutierrez is familiar with this area of the border. He drove us along the river from the Hidalgo Bridge to Anza Luis Park. He pointed out important lookout spots along the bumpy trail.
Earlier today, me and my partner were here kind of patrolling in the area, and we had three Chinese immigrants come up to us directly.
I told them I was surprised to hear that.
We apprehend people from over 143 countries nationwide.
Wow.
Yeah, and most of the people think that it's just Hispanics or Mexicans, like people from Mexico or Central America, but we get people from China, from Eritrea, from a whole bunch of different places.
Do you catch that? 143 different countries are coming through that border. Why, you got a crisis on your hands. How are you going to identify these people from all these different countries? If only we had some sort of mandated universal ID, then that will fix this crisis that we just don't know how it's happening. That, too, has been in the works the whole time. Create a crisis, you manage the outcome, okay? Including during the Obama years. Watch this.
President Obama taking on not only health care reform, but another controversial issue, immigration reform. And a key meeting at the White House tomorrow could be the first step toward that reform and for some very big changes for every American worker. Senators Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham, bipartisan that is, set to sit down with President Obama tomorrow, discussing plans for a national identification card. Now, this thing is meant to crack down on illegal workers, but our next guest says it could crack down on you and your privacy. Congressman Ron Paul is a Texas Republican. He's opposed to this card. Congressman, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you.
It's a great pleasure to have you. All right, so what's the problem with the national ID card? Because its proponents say this is it. This is the thing that's going to finally help us stop illegal immigrants from coming in here and taking jobs.
Well, we do have a problem with illegal immigration, but I would say the problems of every American citizen carrying their papers for wherever they go is a much worse problem than illegal immigration. Besides, you can take care of illegal immigration otherwise. But people over this decades now in this country, there have been some who have wanted this national ID card, and they're looking for every opportunity to do it. And this is it. I mean, who knows what will come of it? My guess is they'll probably have a GPS chip in there so that they can measure everybody, every instant, no matter where they go. So to me, it violates the whole principles of privacy, the principles of the Constitution, the principles of the Republic. And to me, it's a gross distortion of what we should be doing. It's part of an authoritarian society. And dictatorships have this, but not a republic. We're
okay,
not
but tell me how. Tell me how it's invasive. Because what Schumer and Graham are proposing, according to what I read, is your ID card would have either your fingerprint, your thumbprint on there, or it would have a reading of the veins in the back of your hand, and you'd have to be scanned by your prospective employer. And that way, if it came up that you weren't legal, they would catch you by the scan.
And you wouldn't be able to cross the border. You wouldn't be able to get a job. You wouldn't be able to buy or sell. It's all a setup, folks. So once they get us into one of the 10 chunks, which the Bible's the only book on the planet that tells you exactly that's what's going to happen with the Antichrist, and this is exactly what they're working on, then they will use that excuse to combine the currency into a new currency, a cashless currency, by the way. And anybody gets a troublemaker, well, they got that figured out. We'll take care of those troublemakers one way or another with a new army. Even if it's coming from foreign nations, who ain't going to have a trouble shooting you. And then we're going to have everybody get a chip card in order to tell who can cross and go across and control everything. Well, there's a problem with these chip cards. We know we got chip cards. We got credit cards with chips in them, ATM cards with chips in them, ID cards with chips in them. There's one problem. You could lose them. So what are they going to do? Oh, well, you guys must be reading the Bible. And watch how long that's already been going on in Mexico in their southern border. Watch this.
Mexico is highly critical of U.S. immigration policy, but it's taking extraordinary measures when it comes to its own immigration crisis. Mexico is taking drastic measures to control illegal immigration across its southern border. Now, Mexico will reportedly use an electronic chip to curb illegal immigration from Guatemala and Belize. The biochip implant will replace the so-called local pass currently being used to enter the country. In 2006, Mexico arrested 200,000 people trying to enter their country illegally.
And how were they able to do that? No chippy, no travel. But good thing that was just the southern border of Mexico. They're not going to really do this around the world, are they?
No.
Folks, wake up. This is what's going on right now as we sit here with the World Health Organization and the treaty. It's tied to a what? Global Digital Passport ID system. The WHO has developed a global vaccine passport system with plans to link every person on the planet to a QR code digital ID. Vaccination certificates that are, quote, tamper-proof and digitally verifiable build trust. There's that word from Schwab. The WHO is therefore supporting membership states in building national and regional trust networks and verification technology. And I quote, this system will be universal, mandatory, and transnational, and the World Health Organization plans to finalize the treaty 2024. No chippy, no travel. What are we talking about here? And he forced, mandated, universal, transnational, everyone, small and poor, rich and poor, small and great, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he had the mark. And there's nobody, anybody would ever line up and do that. Just under the auspices of, hey, you can keep buying and selling. We just had, again, the biggest dry run for the mark of the beast in the history of mankind. People instantly gave up their freedom, submitted to tyranny, and put something on their head called a mask in order to buy and sell all over the world, just like that overnight. People immediately, who cares about sovereignty, whatever, it's all about convenience. I need to buy and sell. I need to get to my job. I need to go shopping. I need to do this. I want to go travel. And they got a shot in their arm, which is just up from their hand. It wasn't the mark of the beast, but it was the biggest dry run ever. And people are ready for it. And this is what's going on, folks. Joe Biden is selling us out, and he was brought in to not just crash the system, but to create one of the 10 chunks. And let me give you further proof as we close. Biden administration proposing merging U.S. with Mexico and Canada. Again, there was a four-year hiatus during the Trump term, but as soon as Biden got in, he ratcheted up super fast. Quote, no border, no wall, no USA at all. This is the line that's been chanted by Antifa and other anti-American agitators. But now a new report reveals it is a prominent supporters in very high places, the Biden regime's upper echelons. The administration hand was tipped by Mexican President Obrador when he announced recently that the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, proposed opening all borders among the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Quote, I think that Mr. Blinken spoke without consolidating the region of North America, said Obrador. Quote, and we agree on that. While this story should be front page news, it's largely been ignored in the media. I wonder why. Here's Biden tweeting. He's meeting with President Andres Obrador of Mexico, Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada at the, quote, North American Leaders Summit to deepen their coordination with these goals for North America. It's in print. It's there. This is what he's doing, right? And for those of you wondering the history, remember, if you're paying attention to the videos, they've changed the name. Because it used to be called SPP, the Security Prosperity Partnership. That's what Bush started, and Obama continued. But it's got some bad press, so they just changed the name. So if you want to go research it yourself, Biden is selling out our country to combine it into one of these 10 economic regions. Revelation 17 alone says is going to happen, and they're going to hand it over to the Antichrist. That's how close we are. The new term is North American Leader Summit, and I quote, sometimes they call it the Three Amigos Summit. But look it up. This is not a conspiracy theory. He's working to do this. And only a handful of people, folks, are calling it out, including this next guy, who, again, I wonder why he got fired from Fox. Watch this.
So the European Union has not really worked out well for Europe. We'll know the details this winter when people are freezing. So naturally, the Biden administration wants to create something very much like that in North America, an EU-style government. The Mexican president, AMLO, says that Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, just proposed that idea. Watch this.
I think that Mr. Blinken spoke about consolidating the region of North America, and we agree on that. We are also in favor of a unity of the entire American continent, like the way the first European community emerged and converted into the European Union. That's what we want.
Oh, so we're going to merge with Mexico in the middle of the most brutal drug war in its history. Mexico is effectively run by the cartels at this point, but we're going to merge with the cartels. Okay. No one noticed this, really. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz noticed it. He sent a letter today to Tony Blinken asking, what is this? He joins us tonight to tell us what he's heard back. Congressman, thanks so much for noticing this and for asking what it means. What does it mean, and did you get an answer?
It means that the globalist left wants a homogenized North America because they don't think that much of the United States of America in the first place. I haven't gotten an answer, but it begs the question, why are we so friendly with Mexico anyway? They've cooked up more death in the Mexican mountains than any crazy mad scientist in Wuhan would have ever thought of. And it's hard to tell where the cartels end and the government of Mexico begins. They had a president take a $100 million bribe from Sinaloa. They had a former defense chief function as the muscle for the cartel, one of their state-level attorneys general, sentenced to 20 years in the United States of America. But while they're sleepwalking to a war with Russia, they are actually surrendering American sovereignty to Mexico, and Canada's not much better. I don't want my constituents having to live under the socialist tyrannical lockdowns enacted by Justin Trudeau Castro while their nephew's being poisoned by Mexican fentanyl, but that apparently is the globalist order that the Biden administration supports here as they give away our money and our chance of a brighter future overseas.
But what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the vast majority of Americans are not aware that the cartels in Mexico have transformed into the most powerful transnational criminal organizations on earth. And that whereas before they used to let traffickers handle the flow of human traffic because it wasn't worth that much for them, that has changed completely. And what you are seeing today is that human beings are worth as much to the Mexican cartels as narcotics and all these other things. And what does that actually translate to in practical terms? It means that the U.S. Marshals, when they do a bust in South Texas, they find that women, some of whom are 8 months pregnant, are being taken to a back room at a gas station and being raped every day for money to pay off their debt to the cartels. It means that when you're one of those people in New York City that says, look at these immigrants, aren't they good, hardworking people because at your favorite fancy restaurant, they're in the kitchen washing the dishes and they're bussing tables and they're doing this. Well, guess what? They're doing 2-3 jobs and most of that money is going to the cartel. It's not going to them. And why does this matter? Well, because we have in place an administration filled with open border ideologues who are implementing a globalist policy that no one was given the option in this country to vote on, that bypasses the legislature and is completely in violation of the Constitution. And what they're edging towards, and I know this from a source who was in meetings at the UN behind closed doors, these are classified meetings, and listen to these discussions of infiltrating 100 million people into the United States as the basis for forming a regional government instead of a national government. So a government of Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. This is the strategy that's in place. And so things like the cartels were created as part of a push-pull strategy where they would push people out of those countries because life would become unbearable and pull them into the United States. It's about the destruction of this country. And it's put in place step by step so that you don't really know what's happening.
Wow.
Well, I was right. If you put 100 million people in America, what would you get? a mess. And it's a numbers game, isn't it? This is what they're up to, folks. This is what Biden is doing. Yes, he was brought in to destroy our economy, but he was brought in as a hireling to create one of the 10 chunks. It makes no sense until you read this verse, Revelation 17. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but for 1 hour, a short period, they will receive authority as kings around the whole planet, along with the beast, the Antichrist. And they have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. So basically, when you see the planet being split up into 10 exact pieces for purposes of control, and they'll put a leader over each one of those, this system has been prepared to hand over to the Antichrist. And so what's the point for you and I? Jesus said, when you see these things, you better stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Because these guys are laying the global infrastructure for global control, for a global government and a global economy, literally before our very eyes. Treason at the highest places, folks. There's no other way to call it. But the Bible says they're going to build this and hand it to the Antichrist, and the Bible says that we leave prior to his appearance. So if we see this far into play, what does it tell us? Our departure has got to be getting near. So be encouraged. Look up. He's coming. We don't lose. We win. But finish strong. God tells us so much about the horrors of the seven-year tribulation, not to freak us out, because we're not going to be there. He's not a wife beater. He doesn't beat his bride before he comes and gets her. But he tells us so that we would know what is coming, to warn people who still need to get saved and finish strong, being the greatest evangelist this generation in the history of church has ever seen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for yet another reminder from your word that it's getting close, our departure. And help us, God, to respond appropriately. Man, we should be the biggest evangelists ever. It's so close. And again, we just thank you for that, because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get worldly. It's so easy to get our mind on things of this world and start living only for this world when we've got something way better that you prepared for us. It's so easy to forget. But all this stuff, we don't condone any of this evil. It's evil. It's horrible. It's treasonous. It's tyrannical. It's satanic. It's ungodly. It's murderous. But it's really a reminder for us that we're about to get out of here. So we need to finish strong. We need to let people know there's a way out of this mess, that they could join us in the rapture. So help us to translate it appropriately, biblically, even tonight. To speak up and speak out, to be that last day's resistance, calling these people out on the carpet, including Joe Biden, but also that we'd be telling people about Jesus, because that's the real solution. Not either or, both and that we'd finish strong as your people. But God, as always, if there's anybody here tonight or watching online, and if they're not truly saved, please save them. This is not a joke. You got them watching, you got them here because you're giving them a sign. Hey, man, what's coming is horrible, but I love you. I sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you. Please turn to him. Ask him to forgive you all your sins before it's too late. But if that's the case, please make that happen tonight. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.